and welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Camille Salazar-Hadaway, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Nick Andrade. Hello, buddy.
Hey, how's it going? How's everything?
Good. This week, we continue our dive into Halo Infinite's campaign. On last week's episode...
Shut this thing down.
Working on it. Okay. Be ready. I'm going to cut him loose.
It's you. You're alive. Chief. The Banished. I tried to stop them. I tried to...
Easy. You're safe now.
The Banished, they have something they call the Conservatory. It's all I know. It's picked up north of here. Dig site. I couldn't stop them. But you can. You have to.
Consider it done.
That's good. Good. The others, the Spartans. Did you?
I'll find them.
We get into the open world and explore the vast space, taking down enemy bases, rescuing UNSC members, until we hit the main story quest, which is enter the tower. Try to escape a Spartan by fighting Chacklock, but it's too late. He dies, but mentions the Conservatory. So mysterious. Something we have to find at the excavation site. Fight through another boss.
Bosses, I think. Well, we don't know for sure.
We're just going to call him Bowser. to finally get to the entrance of the Conservatory, which is where we start today's episode. Mission 6, Conservatory, and Mission 7, Spire. As we dive more into the story and Master Chief's story, the question of the day.
Are you flexing? What's going on right now?
I have my... So Nick could only see like from my elbows up. So he saw me put my hands up, but he can't actually see the rest of my arms that are actually on my hips because I'm serious.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'm serious. I'm not flexing, but I am going to flex these question asking muscles, because the question of the day, does Master Chief fit the role of a proper protagonist, or at least what we're used to?
This is what I'm juggling with in terms of, this is obviously a first person shooter, right? So you are Master Chief. And this is the whole sense that I get is what has always been done is that you are Master Chief. So the reason why Master Chief maybe isn't very talkative and he's very direct, he's very blunt, and you never see behind his mask is because you are Master Chief and you are supposed to relate to him. However, as a story protagonist, I feel like he is kind of dull in terms of in a cutscene, it's almost robotic where I don't feel for him because he is very much just there. I don't know if you get that sense.
I could see that, like where he doesn't talk much, we can't see his face, and I feel like that does a little bit hinder. It hinders like my ability to relate to him, I guess, in a sense. But I do find him very cool. Like every time I hear him, and you know, we're going to hear some cool lines that he says, or like when he's just rushing the weapon and is just like, do it faster. Like, it's just like, oh, dang, like he's straight up to business. Like, I like that aspect. But I can't think of another protagonist that has a helmet who we don't see their reactions, their facial reactions, because usually even if they, you know, don't speak a la Link, we get the grunts. It's very animated, so you could get a sense of the reactions.
Yeah.
And usually through the other characters and what they know about the protagonist, that helps us relate to the protagonist even further. But there's very few that really know Master Chief. But I'm trying to think, are there other protagonists with like helmets where we can't see their face?
He gives me a lot of Kratos vibes in terms of like being a straightforward asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's the one reference I think of. But also, I mean, Link never talks, but he's not an asshole.
Yeah, but even Kratos, like, Kratos is kind of an asshole, you know, but it's still, you see his emotion and his struggle. You know, when he's trying to reach out to his son, he might have scolded his son, but then you see as his son turns, he reaches out his hand because he feels bad that he scolded his son, but then he holds back, right? You see those moments. I think here we do see some of those moments, especially when you find the other Spartans. Mm-hmm. With Master Chief, it's just not as frequent. It's very focused on the conflicts, and Master Chief is inserted in it.
But he also never listens to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he is a grade A alpha male in any sense of the word. It's like Echo usually is just like, I'm concerned, Master Chief. And he's like, shut up. We're going to do this my way or the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Like, I don't really like connect with you, dude. So that's the thing. It's like, I'm going through this and I really enjoy the story, but I'm also thinking like, if he died to the Banished, would I care? I don't know. It's a tough question.
It's kind of like he is, I think, how they portray Master Chief, especially not being able to see his face. It does cause that like disconnect with the player. But at the same time, it makes us look up to him as this war hero, like a hero in a sense.
Sure.
Maybe because you're new to the franchise, too.
No, I don't think it's that. I thought maybe it was that. But I just thought of like, if he had died, let's say in the beginning, and we had to be another Spartan somehow, like this, it just went on to the next person. It wouldn't matter to me.
Okay.
Or if Master Chief died right now and then we had to be another character, I don't think I'd be like emotional about it. You know what I mean? Like every game that we've played so far, I feel like we've had a connection with the main character or side character or whoever. Like even Link, when he doesn't talk, like you still have an emotional connection to him. But with Master Chief, I don't feel that. And yes, I know that I'm new to the series, but I was also with Zelda.
Yeah.
And I felt more of a connection with Link through his grunts than I did with Master Chief now, because again, I just feel like I don't know. It's not that I'm not trying to make this complicated. No, I really do enjoy the game.
It's not about being complicated. It's a valid like thought. And I'm curious if anyone at home feels this way. Let us know in our Discord, because these are the conversations we like to have. If you have any questions as well for us that you want us to answer at the top of the episode, maybe that could be our question of the day. Maybe we do that.
Ooh, but that's good.
After this quick break, we're going to dive into Mission 6, Conservatory. Welcome to the Conservatory, where we finally get there.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And we see what the Banished are searching for. And we start off by finding another dead Spartan. This is the third dead Spartan for us.
It's the third dead Spartan, but second that had the same death.
Yes, a blade. I'm thinking an energy sword. Yeah.
Yes.
So this Spartan was killed by an energy blade, and this time, Weapon mentions that there's a pattern.
Huh?
So Mr. Nick Andretti seems to be like the best Sherlock of the two of us.
I literally was going to use the term Sherlock for that. But yeah, even after that first one, I thought maybe there's something suspicious there, and Weapon now says it. So it reaffirms my beliefs that something's going on, and I'm guessing it's some either rogue Spartan that has been helping the Banished, or Cortana is somehow now real.
Ooh.
That probably sounds really stupid, but she has a body. And she's killing off all the Spartans.
Anything is possible in sci-fi, the world of sci-fi. So we find this Spartan in a true Master Chief fashion. We take their gear. We get a new ability, the drop wall. Initial thoughts on the drop wall. This is pretty much like a shield, a temporary shield that could help you when there's a lot of combat on the other side of that. What were your first thoughts of this?
I used it once to test it out. Didn't use it again.
Oh.
Do you use it often?
I used it like maybe 4 times. I thought about, there was a part we'll get to where I just kept dying and I thought about using the shield, but it didn't work. But yeah, I about used it maybe 3 times. So it was like, it was refreshing, especially when you're low on ammo. I find it very helpful.
It definitely serves its purpose. However, I always forget to switch it out or switch out something else.
Yeah.
When I need something, which I want to discuss again in segment 3, which is this whole switching out mechanic. But I seem to always forget that. So in that case, I used the drop wall once, didn't use it again because I always want my grapple shot handy whenever I need to escape something really quickly. Usually when my shields are broken, I try to fling myself away from harm's way.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That's valid. That's valid.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. But honestly, Nick, if you listen to previous series of our podcast here, Nick does never goes for the defensive. He is like all for spraying, praying, guns blazing. Let's do this.
But this is hard. It's much harder to do that in this game, which I enjoy. You really do need to know what's going on and how to situate yourself, or else you could be in trouble. So I do like that challenge. My spray and pray doesn't work. Again, like every game I ever play, I always buff up my strengths. And then I very rarely care about defense unless it's like shields or health or whatever. But yeah, you are completely right. I'm glad to know that I have that you figured out who I am.
You're not that complicated, Nick. Neither am I, though. Neither am I. Okay, so we go through this part, and really, this mission is just going through, fighting off a few jackals and grunts and brunts to find power seeds, I think they're called.
All over the place.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And then you need to actually, those are like power sources that you need to like put in these like terminals to then open doors to go to the next one. And you keep fighting off waves of enemies. And this part's pretty easy.
I don't think there's too many waves of much. There's no like big enemies that are tough at this point, at least. We will see some later, but at this point right now, it's just a bunch of garbage that you have to get rid of.
Well, and oh my God, speaking of garbage snipers, garbage, trash, I have no respect for them because they are the most frustrating thing.
Well, for me, it's actually the grunts with the snipers, because the snipers are just like, I'm going to hide and you don't know where I am. And then there's going to be a purple shot coming from nowhere.
Yeah.
And then the grunts are always just like, and then they're like running at you. And I don't know what's going on, which again, segment 3 coming up teaser. I have another angry rant to go on, and it has to do with grunts.
Oh. He's going for the grunts. Everybody goes for the grunts, though. So yeah, you pretty much find 2 power seeds. You insert those. Doors open. Then you go through another door. You find another power seeds, and then you keep going there. It's really powering you up. And then we meet someone.
Open it.
Help me. This installation, the Harbinger exile, was absolute. How did she return? It's impossible. This cannot be. I need to go back. Find out what happened.
We should help her.
Maybe.
No, she's correct. I request your assistance.
Who are you? What's your name?
I am Despondent Pyre, monitor of this installation, and this is my conservatory. My conservatory. This is not right. Perhaps you would... Oh, no!
Let's go.
Where?
Down there.
So we go into like this beautiful area with lots of sunlight. I don't know, artificial light what it is. Yeah, but it definitely just artificial really nice. Light. I was like, is this sunlight? They're actually
we're
really...
like 80 feet underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunlight's not coming through there, Camille. And we meet someone, Despondent Pyre, who
someone or something.
Oh, yes, something.
It's a robot.
It's a robot who runs the conservatory. And she mentions yes. that she needs help. And that she needs help from the Harbinger. She actually says, this installation, the Harbinger, exile was absolute. How did she return? It's impossible. Who's the Harbinger? I have no idea. Nick?
I don't know either. She's also being attacked by these skimmers.
Yeah.
And she like falls to like into some clouds or whatever. So we don't see what happens to her. But I don't really know. Again, we talked about this before the show started. I'm confused on the story, and I think I'll get more confused as it goes until I fill the pieces and the gaps with the audience, I'm hoping. But who the hell is the Harbinger? I thought that it was a character that you knew about already, but apparently this is a brand new character.
Yeah, I have no idea who the Harbinger is. And it seems like Weapon is confused as well, because Weapon's like, who are you? What's going on? And with the Despondent Pyre, she actually just... it's panicking. So whatever it is, whoever the Harbinger is, I'm thinking this is not good vibes at all. Probably a new alien faction who's also fighting for control of the rings.
Yeah.
And now at this point, I'm like, I should have just went back in the ship with Echo because this is getting too heated. Like, I do not need another enemy faction going at me, especially when you have those running brutes that scare the bejeebs out of me.
Oh,
I hate
my God.
I hate it.
That's a perfect transition into who we face off with next.
Yes.
Which is, this time they're cloaked and they have energy swords.
I know. Yeah. So pretty much when the monitor for this conservatory falls, the skimmers kind of drag her down and Master Chief says, we're going down there after her. And we jump down a hole and after fighting off some enemies, we jump down a hole and then we are met by two enemies that so happen to just walk in the room at the same time when we are, yeah. when we fall in there. And they are completely cloaked. Like Nick said, they have energy swords and they are fast as hell. They are super fast. How'd you find this battle?
This is where I'm now starting to realize I do need to not spray and pray. I can't just go in and insert my dominance. What I need to do is use our gadgets that we have. So this is where I died twice because I didn't know what I was doing.
You only died twice? I died, I swear, it was like six times.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you would have died like zero times because you know how to use strategy.
I usually know how to use strategy. I just found that I'm not good with fast enemies, okay? I don't like enemies charging at me, especially with energy store. It scares me. So it's like that reaction, that inherent reaction I have to that, throws all strategy out the window. So I was just trying to grapple around as fast as I can to get out of the way. And then I used the sensor.
The threat sensor.
Gadget. Yeah, the threat sensor gadget in order to see a little bit more of them. But they were really hard. Like, they take a lot of damage to down.
Also, there is nothing more demoralizing in this game than dying because your body just aimlessly flails. Okay, like 20 feet as you die.
I know.
And it just makes you, and then it pauses the game for at least 2 minutes. So it does like make you think about, you know, all your mistakes as you do it.
Exactly.
But the funny thing is that once I use my threat sensor, that's why I died twice. And I'm like, okay, I know I have my threat sensor. Let me use it. I don't think I had used it much beforehand. And then as soon as I used it, it became so easy because I just mashed these two guys easily without their cloaking system. So I'm like, okay, now I really need to understand how to use strategy in this game because it is important.
It is. And because I freak out whenever enemies are like charging at me, I found after and how I won this battle was with my grenades, the shock grenades. I stuck that to them and it would take like one out. So I find that's the key way to go. If your aim is good when you're not panicking and your reflexes are on point even through the panic, then you'll have no problem with this. If your reflexes are not on point because you're panicking so hard, it may take a couple tries like it did for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're all learning, right? Halo is a learning process.
We're all learning. It's all fun. Yeah. But once we get to our objective, Weapon tells us something awful has happened here.
You know what I want.
Alas, I do, Cortana. And my mind has not been changed. This installation's weapons may be yours, but its secrets are not. It's protected. The containment facility in particular.
Containment? The Flood? Why would I... You and I both know that there are worse things than the Flood within this ring.
No. There's no way you could know.
So you've come for me at last. Why are you doing this, John? Why don't you understand?
The seal must not be broken. The punished cannot be freed. This can never be negotiated. There is no other choice.
Reconsider.
The consequences of your request.
Back to your conservatory, Monitor. What does that mean? What could be worse than the Flood?
Nothing good.
So we actually see a familiar face. We get a flashback with Cortana, and she does mention, you hear this conversation back and forth with her and the Pyre, and yes, they're talking about that there's something worse at the site than the Flood, which is pretty scary because the Flood is pretty much like a viral infection.
Okay.
So I guess you don't know what the Flood is.
I don't. You have to explain it.
So the Flood is pretty much like a parasite and it's like infected precursors. So the precursors are the species that could like jump through different galaxies. They were very advanced and like all these different factions kind of look up to them or have their own beliefs about who the precursors are. But some of them were actually infected, and that's the Flood. So when the Flood unleashes, it kills every sentient being.
Right.
And it was actually responsible for a lot of deaths of like life forms in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And that does include a lot of the forerunners who created like the Halo rings, who pretty much put the torch to humanity to say like, okay, you're in charge of like the Halo rings. This is what's going on. Or like they're the masterminds. It's like I said, it's like a will, family fighting over the assets in a will. But yeah, that's what the Flood is. So it's pretty scary because anything that could kill any sentient life, what could be worse than that?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, as we talk about this, it almost sounds like this is a conspiracy theorist podcast, and we're just, I don't know, just it doesn't even seem real, to be honest. But, yeah, she says, like, Cortana seems scary to me, and I think you can see, you can hear it in Pyre's voice. There's something worse, but she knows that. What is she trying to do? And then, like, John is coming for her. This is why I'm a little frustrated that I'm coming into this game
a little late.
A little late, because it is tying in so many things that I feel like I am so out of the loop for. Mm-hmm. But I like it because I'm trying to put these pieces together, but I feel a little lost because of that. But clearly, there's something worse, which is what we're going to be finding out eventually. It's just setting up for something.
Yeah, it's uncovering, and like no one before, no player has seen this scene before, right? So this is like, it's just filling in the gaps for what we did not see in that time where Cortana kind of went rogue and became, you know, this against humanity, against everything, right? And it's interesting because when she's talking to Pyre, through that conversation, it's kind of like at the start, she's trying to convince Pyre.
Yeah.
To help her. And Pyre says, alas, I do, Cortana, and my mind has not been changed. This installation's weapons may be yours, but its secrets are not. So it's like, how many layers does this installation have?
Speaking of layers, too, I feel like, yes, I'm lost, but I also feel like this is the show Lost, where it's asking more questions than it's answering.
Okay.
So we go to the conservatory to find out what the Banished are doing, but we don't find that out. What we find out are more questions on what the hell's happening with the ring and Cortana and the Pyre and the Spire and everything else in between. So I'm trying to like get questions answered, but I'm just getting more questions asked, which starts becoming a little overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah. And we also see in this cutscene, Cortana does see John's ship.
Yes.
Master Chief's ship coming for her. So we know this is right before the game picked up, before Master Chief was kind of laying dead in space. So she says, like it's weird because Cortana, like, you have that... You still feel for her, even though she was against humanity for this time, because it seems like she really does believe in what she's doing, and she believes it's the right thing to do. And she says, like, why are you doing this, John? Like, why don't you understand? So I feel like we may learn as the game progresses a little bit more about, like, or why she's doing it, and maybe that she... isn't too far off making the best decision, although how harsh that sounds. Like, maybe she had, maybe there is a greater reason for the greater good she had to do what she did. And I think that's what the game's trying to set up here. So we get kind of intervened with some new enemies called Skimmers, which they remind me of. Oh, what are the, oh my gosh, Batman, Batman versus Superman, the nightmare scene.
Oh, those things? I also think they look like a hybrid of like Meta Knight and like just creepy aliens, which could be okay. Those things from Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we never sure. Yeah, nightmare, whatever things they're called.
Yeah, they have a specific name.
My descriptions of like enemies that we face are always just so strange. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We should just start a bingo card for like what terms you will pull to describe different enemies at the start of every series of the podcast. Yeah. Like, we'll just be like, yeah. But anyways, these bugs, they're not difficult. These skimmers aren't difficult, but they are hella annoying because of their weapons.
They stay far away from you, and they have, like, snipers too.
Yes.
Which I died a few times trying to figure out the mechanics of it until I realized, and this is, for me, a overarching recommendation to all that are playing this game. When you can, make sure that your secondary weapon is a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
Snipers are OP in this game. And once I pulled one out, or I think I found one there was a plasma sniper. I grabbed one of those, and then it was smooth sailing from there on out. And then after that, every fob that we went to, I would make sure to grab a sniper to use as my secondary. I don't think you can re-equip. You can't get ammo with snipers, right? Once they run out, like, other than finding guns.
No, I think you can. You can't. You have to find the guns. Guns.
Right, but you can't use the ammo crate. They don't.
No.
Right?
I haven't been able to. Yeah.
Yes. So you always got to make sure you can find ammo for the snipers, but they are well worth the while, especially to get rid of these long-range enemies or really powerful ones that you want to avoid. They're just so good.
Yeah.
So that's what I used with the skimmers, and then it just became easy because I just pinged them off one by one.
And that's exactly what I did too. It's so much easier when you have that distance between them, because then you just don't have enough time to really run out of the way once they fire their weapons at you. But as you get rid of these guys and you go along, you find another suit upgrade, thrusters. This is supposed to help you dodge enemy attacks. This, to me, was like the answer I was looking for to dodge
really
any enemy just running at me. Because sometimes with the grapple, mm-hmm. you're not at the length that you need to be, like that distance. It's a little bit too far. So if my aim is off with the grapple, then I'm just like, oh no, now I have to wait for it to recharge. And I'm just running away instead of grappling away. With the thruster, it's much easier for me to dodge when these enemies run at you. So I thought it would be helpful. I ended up not using it that much.
I tested it out once, And I'm like, wow, this sucks. So I unequipped it because I thought like with a thruster, I would get like a giant boost.
Yeah.
Really quickly. And you go maybe like 3 millimeters in front of you. And so then I thought, okay, maybe it needs to be upgraded. So I had one core, we're on Spartan core. So I upgraded it one time and I maybe the upgrades will make it better. But after one upgrade, it still wasn't very powerful. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to keep with my grappling hook because this is useless.
That's fair. That's fair. We both just didn't use it. Which sucks, but maybe as we go on and we upgrade it, it'll prove more useful.
Yeah, and then I think we face like we aren't getting bosses in this one, but we're getting some.
We aren't, but we're dying a lot more than we have.
Because I think there's a lot of, they put a lot of heavy set enemies in this one.
Yes, and speaking of heavy set enemies, we have 2 berserkers with Gatling guns in the next room. I died 3 times with these guys.
Are people going to like listen to the show and like be like, wow, these guys are not good at video games? Like there are 2 types of gamers that people watch or listen to, okay, Cam? One of them are they're very good at the game, like they're extremely good. And the others are they're just very entertaining. I think we fall under that category.
We're entertaining.
Because we're fun, but we're also very, very bad. But we're not terrible.
Nick, that's almost, don't say we're fun. That's almost like saying we're the cool moms.
We are the cool moms.
We're cool. We're the cool moms, okay?
Would you rather have a strict mom or a cool mom? The strict moms are good at the game.
No, no. That is just so, our gameplay, you guys look to it as a way of entertainment, but I will not put the label that we are entertaining. That is for
no,
you.
No, because...
our listeners to decide. Are we entertaining?
We're definitely not.
Let us know.
We're definitely not inspiring. Like, we're not like, oh my God, they didn't die once to these berserkers. Like, these aren't even bosses.
We are inspiring the next wave of subpar gamers to be entertaining. Okay, Nick?
It's true. Not everyone could be great at the games. Okay.
So. Exactly. All right. We represent that group. It's all right.
We're role models.
Honestly, I like to think I'm actually okay at games. Like, yes, I am pretty decent. I play a lot of FPSs. And for some reason, the 2 berserkers, it's because of the Gatling guns and the range they have. So I was actually running low on my sniper as well. I think I had like 2 shots in there. So I couldn't really ping them off because they're also like on their thrusters jumping around, and it was just hard to a bit like narrow down. And the thing is, when you get hit with the Gatling gun, you really don't have, there's no room for error. You are just done. So again, my key here with this battle, I let one of the berserkers get close to me. I threw a grenade and it stuck on him.
Yeah.
And then I took his Gatling gun and then it was over. That's what I had to do.
So I also ran out of sniper bullets at that time. And so then I used that, like those giant cores, those exploding core things. And then I just ran at them and tried to hide as much as possible and then threw it at them and then threw grenades as well. That's the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it.
Like the regular guns don't really do much to them. Even if you shoot them in the head, it takes a long while to get rid of them.
Exactly. And then you're just putting yourself out there. You're more vulnerable to the other berserker who's aiming. Yes. Who also, they have really good aim, a lot of these
really
enemies.
Good.
Okay.
Yes.
No stormtroopers here. No stormtroopers
here. No, they're really good.
So once you defeat these enemies, you get more power generators and it's off to the next room to find out more.
Show yourself. I know you have been following me. We are not enemies.
Despondent Pyre.
She has something I required. I know of you, Reclaimer. But hear this. You are not the future.
You okay, Chief? I'm trying to get the armor unlocked.
Try harder.
The Forerunner's lies are at an end. I am the harbinger of the truth. The Endless will be found. They will ascend.
Now would be good.
I know, I know. Three.
The reformation begins.
Two. One. Go!
All right, so we go up this very large elevator.
Which is a common theme, by the way. There's so many long elevators in this game.
I was just like, that's how far we were down? Like, I didn't even realize we went that far down. But we meet someone who asks us to show ourselves, and they are well aware that they've been followed by us, and this is the Harbinger of Truth. A new alien? I don't remember seeing the Harbinger of Truth before, but can I just talk about her? Fit looks so good.
Yeah?
She's giving me alien vibes with her helmet. And then she's also has these huge shoulder pads and just really cool skirt. I like it. That's all. That's all I want to say about the Harbinger.
She's giving me a Mass Effect vibe. You know what I mean? She looks very designed for Mass Effect. But again, I came into today wanting to ask you who the hell the Harbinger is, but it's a new character who mentions the Endless and who mentions the Forerunners and all this stuff. And I was trying to piece it together, but you're also trying to piece it together.
Yeah, I don't know who she is. Good question. But I will say at first, because the mission has been leading us to find something that is worse than the Flood, something really scary. The Harbinger doesn't look that scary. And she actually opens up by saying, we're not enemies.
Okay, but she says we're not enemies and then wants to destroy you. And weapons trying to put the shields, Master Chief is like, come on, hurry up. And then Harbinger is like, karate chop move combo on John. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe she just had to knock us out. You know, usually there's sometimes in these types of stories, you meet the hero that can't reveal they're the hero or that they're on your side yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a Harbinger. I'm holding out hope for the Harbinger, but she doesn't, like Nick said, make a good case. She gets a little close to us. She gets a little aggressive with what she's saying. She knows who we are, the Reclaimer. And hear this, she's given us a warning.
Yeah.
And that the Endless essentially is the worse than anything that we've seen. They are being freed.
In her terms, it's better though.
Yes.
She's saying the Forerunners are nothing compared to the Endless. So this is a new faction of an alien that we don't know about.
Exactly. And the Forerunners were really advanced. So I don't I guess the Endless are just even more advanced. But basically, we have no idea. She karate chops, Nick said, Master Chief in the head. And that's pretty much the end of this cutscene. But you're right. What was Weapon doing here? Okay, what took so long? Because I guess, was it the Harbinger? Oh, the Harbinger made it that Master Chief couldn't use, put his shields up so he couldn't use his, seemed like the Harbinger kind of interfered with the weapon's access to Master Chief's UI.
Yes.
Right?
I think so. But
that's crazy. Some crazy powers
again,
right there.
So what, Cam, what did we learn from this mission? We were searching for what the Banished were looking for, but the Banished have unlocked this Harbinger somehow by digging?
Yeah, I guess so. But then why would the Banished, because the Harbinger kind of seems like the Harbinger doesn't want to work with anybody.
No.
Just do their own thing, all about the Endless. So now the question is, what do the Banished and the Endless have in common? And
it sounds like they don't.
Then why would the banished be here digging up some ground for this Harbinger?
But the Harbinger said that I'm not your enemy.
Maybe, but you said that you don't trust the Harbinger.
Of course not. Look at her. And look at her fit.
So good. Her fit's so good. So we have no idea what's going on with the Harbinger. There's lots of questions in the air. And I'm pretty sure as we go through the campaign, those questions will hopefully be answered. But this leads us into Mission 7, the Spire. You have more of a chance to do the side quest if you
if you so choose.
Choose to?
Which I did.
Do it? Mm-hmm. You did.
Yes.
Of course you did. I was so confused after the Harbinger. I was like, forget everything else. Let me continue with this main story.
I agree.
And pretty much the main story is there's a giant spire that you have to get inside. The spire is Covenant base that was used to like store weapons, like for ground attacks and stuff. So that's what the spire is, if you're not familiar with it. And you have to fight off some pretty strong enemies outside the base. And again, once again,
snipers.
Our friends with snipers.
So easy.
Are back. Super not easy.
Oh, sorry. I meant like snipers. If you use a sniper gun,
oh,
it makes everything so much easier than.
Oh, no. There's, but there's snipers.
But there are snipers. Yeah, but it's
there
easy
are snipers.
When you have. What do you. Hey, do you bring a sniper to a sniper fight? 100%. So that's how I make it easier.
Yeah, but then it's also trying to find, I found here, especially outside of this base, trying to find a spot to put myself where I could actually shoot my sniper.
Oh, there was perfect. There was a little ledge that I went on, way above everyone else, and I just went to town.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds
Nick.
Very graphic, but yes. It's,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not blood. Oh, I don't have bloodlust. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, oh, Nick. Okay. So, dang it. I did not. Like, I tried. I fell off because you actually start off on a higher platform. I fell off that. And then I tried to, like, kind of find cover through the trees, but it was kind of difficult. So, I didn't find the platform you were talking about. But after you fight those enemies, also, quickly, side note, the grunts on the flying vehicles. A pain in the behind. A pain in the behind, but really fun to hijack. I really suggest you hijack those vehicles. So much fun. But after you take out all the enemies outside of the base, you go in.
It knows we're here.
Welcome, welcome. Oh, hello. I am Adjutant Resolution, sub-monitor of this installation. Loyal servant of Despondent Pyre, who must be indisposed if I have been activated. Have you seen her?
Kinda. Do you want to tell him?
Tell me what?
The monitor is gone.
Gone? Gone? Gone?
But it wasn't us.
Are you sure?
Of course, it wasn't us.
Good. 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 I was worried you were perhaps unfriendly. As you can see, this spire has been successfully deployed. This way, I presume you wish to see the observation platform?
So we meet the Adjutant Resolution, who serves under the Despondent Pyre. And I love this meeting because he's like, oh, where's the Pyre? And then the Weapon's like, are you going to tell him, Master Chief?
Yeah.
That the Pyre's done?
Is it though? You told me that it was, we don't have confirmation that Pyre is dead.
I think Pyre is dead.
But I thought it was.
No, Pyre's dead.
The skimmer killed them.
Well, I don't know if it was a skimmer. That killed it. I feel like there was something else that killed the Pyre.
Oh, the Harbinger.
Yeah, I feel like it might have been the Harbinger because you see the Pyre separated.
Right, right.
Right? It kind of reminds me of Thanos' daughter, Brain.
Nebula?
My brain is... Yes, Nebula. Yeah. You know when he pulls her apart and then reprograms her? It looks like that's what they did to the Pyre, but the light in the middle was dimmed, so I guess the Pyre died through that process. My thing is... I don't know if the Pyre had information that the Harbinger needed. I don't know why the Pyre died. But why did the Pyre have to die? But pretty much, yeah, the monitor is gone. And it's hilarious that the Weapon's just like, yeah, just tell him, Master Chief. Just tell him. So after we tell the Adjutant a resolution that the monitor is gone, we actually learn more about the Spire.
Oh, that's not so bad. The structure's purpose is simple. Rebuild the ring. Well, more specifically, create the materials needed to repair it.
Not gonna happen.
Why? It's such a beautiful... Oh, the Banished. Sorry, I was distracted for a second. There's so much to learn here.
Shut it down. Permanently.
No, no, no! What are you doing? This is not acceptable. You were supposed to be friendly.
So we learned that the Spire can repair the ring. Then Master Chief wants to shut it down. This is an interesting back and forth between the weapon, because the weapon is also lost in the beauty of everything that the weapon's seeing in this program. It kind of reminds me of like Pandora's box of like, ooh, you're getting a glimpse of all this possibilities, all the technology advancements that are here, because the whole thing is that these rings are ancient, brought to us by the Forerunners. So being able to create material to repair the rings, that's kind of a huge deal. And you could tell the weapon's really fascinated about it, but Master Chief is very reserved with the weapon and how she handles that information.
Right.
You know, we've seen before the weapon's like, just shut it down. Like, you know, don't look any further. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing like a little bit of that moment now. So Master Chief wants to shut down the Spire because of the Banished, I guess. And because he doesn't want them to use the ring against the UNSC, because the rings are essentially a weapon.
I'm a little confused, but again, like, I get what Master Chief's purpose is here. Mm-hmm. Again, I do think he's being a little too blunt with Weapon, because Weapon just seems like he's like carefree, trying to figure out putting pieces together of who she is, because I think she's also very confused as to her being and purpose now that she, you know, her purpose was to destroy Cortana and then dip and then unplug her system. So now she's trying to like find a new purpose, and she's just being very curious, and Master Chief is just shutting her down in every which way. But I get what his issue is, because the Banished are, you know, they basically have destroyed the UNSC. So he wants no reason for them to have more power.
Exactly.
But does he think he's going to be able to destroy all of the Banished? Like, that's what I think his motive is, but is that even possible?
For Master Chief, it's possible. Remember what he said to Echo, there's no home if the Banished are there, right? If the Banished continue. But yeah, like, it's weird, because you think you would still want to protect the ability to repair the Halo, because this is a place where people lived, but then like, yeah, maybe he is cutting to the chase too quickly. But anyways, we start to try to destroy the Spire, and the Adjutant Resolution ain't too happy about it. He isn't too happy. This triggers a boss fight with him turning into, like, does he go into a mech or does he turn into a mech? Like, I feel like,
I think he goes into a mech.
Where was that thing lying around? I didn't see that anywhere in the room beforehand.
He's the monitor. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yep, he can. And this was an interesting fight, because it really, compared to any of the non-boss fights we've had in Mission 6 and so far in Mission 7, this was pretty easy.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say it was going to be hard or something like that.
I'm
like,
no.
We have to show the audience that we're good at this. But yeah, I did it in one go. It was straightforward in terms of like, it has like four claws, and you have to get rid of each as is. There's also a weapon there. This is a Sentinel beam gun. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I equipped that, and that was incredibly good.
Yeah.
He didn't stand a chance after that one.
Yeah, you just got to aim for like the four lights, and then after that, it kind of uses that cliche of like, just aim for whatever is glowing, and then the middle will glow. And he lets out these beams of light. So taking cover is really important in this, because those do take a lot of damage.
Do you feel a sense of like being a little overwhelmed with what's going on? Because for me, I just feel like so much is happening that I have questions for. And then like they throw this boss fight in, because it's like, hey, I'm the adjutant and welcome to my base. Oh, what are you doing? Get out of here. Fight. And it's like, okay, like
maybe because you're still trying to find answers. I kind of went with the idea like, we just don't know. And I guess for you, because when you're playing, you're not sure if we're supposed to know. Or if we're not supposed to know.
Yes, I'm always questioning that.
Yeah. So then for you, you're like, wait, am I supposed to know this? Am I, you know? But this is just stuff we just don't know. We don't know what's going on. But I understand why the monitor, his place is to protect the Spire. It's kind of like his self-defense mechanism that kicks in to defend the Spire. So I completely was okay with that. But once you beat him,
I have good news and bad news.
How many?
Okay, straight to the bad news. A lot. I count 10 spires. More being deployed all the time.
Active?
No, not yet at least. They appear to be waiting for an initialization sequence. Something is flooding the network, trying to start it, but there's resistance.
Why?
The protocol that triggered all this wasn't exactly correct. It worked. Well, it started the process. There's more bad news. I can't shut it down exactly. But I can remove it from the network. Of course, I can find the source of the attack. I just need to...
Wait. Is it safe?
Come on. It's me. An infiltration program designed to... Oops, I think she knows I'm...
How are you doing this?
Disconnect.
Give me 1 second to get it...
Now.
It's done. Why don't you trust me?
What was that?
Maybe taking it offline wasn't such a great idea. We need to go. Like now.
Immediate extraction. My location.
Oh God. It was you, wasn't it?
Now.
I'm coming.
Weapon says there's a network of spires around that are trying to fix the ring. Which, how many spires did she say there was?
36?
Like
36?
Oh,
36. 36? Something like that?
I was like, are we going to all 36? I was overwhelmed at that point. I was like, are we going to all 36 spires? Like, that's a lot.
They're waiting for an initiation sequence, but who's initiating the sequence? That's what the Banished are trying to do, I'm guessing?
I don't know if it's the Banished or the Harbinger or both, but we do see where the Weapon is trying to figure out more information and she's getting interference. And she says that she feels the Harbinger's presence for a second. So I guess maybe the Harbinger is trying to initiate the sequence. We just don't know if the Harbinger is working alongside the Banished.
Right.
And the Weapon is hesitant and asks Master Chief why he doesn't trust her. Because he doesn't really know about the relationship with Cortana and Master Chief.
Yeah.
And this is the point where you see Master Chief just like shut it down. Shut it down now. Really like just being very demanding of the Weapon and not allowing the Weapon to have any freedom, which he did, right? That was kind of what he did with Cortana. Having Cortana like really explore her own intelligence and like own being and need to find more information, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like, I guess, Master Chief, you know, his Cortana's betrayal really is still affecting him. And I don't know if it's coming from a place where he wants to protect the Weapon from whatever corrupted Cortana.
Yeah.
Or if it's just he just doesn't trust the Weapon. I'm hoping it's the first option.
I don't know. Do I trust Master Chief right now in this situation? I also have this theory that he might be bad and he doesn't know it.
Oh.
Is that weird?
Is that weird? I don't see that, but I could see how you could think that because he's so short with his answers. He doesn't really explain anything to anyone. And he goes, like, he just does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So I could see that. After this moment and after the Weapon shuts it down, we actually get, this was a really cool moment because you hear Master Chief calling out to Echo because after they start to, I guess, self-destruct the spire, the roof of the spire starts to like tumble down on Master Chief, but like in the slowest way possible. It's kind of like they're going to be squeezed between the roof and the floor if they don't get help to escape right away. And that's where he calls Echo and he jumps off the spire that is, I don't even know how many feet in the like the sky, but it is up there. And like he just so casually falls into the ship.
And then the music crescendos and it's the cutscenes. Honestly, the cutscenes in this game are beautiful.
I was hoping here for a moment, like when we first started off, where we would actually be in the air as Master Chief having to like just a quick moment having to catch like fall into Echo's ship.
Yeah.
Just because it reminded me of when he had that just the one bullet.
Oh, yeah. That was so sick.
And we were jumping. Yeah, yeah. That was so sick. So I was hoping for a moment like that here. We didn't get it, but we still got a really sick cutscene. And that's it. That's the end of Mission 7.
No. You! I can't stand it! Who you are?
Breathe.
No! You don't get to tell me what to do. You don't get to tell me anything! We're... Are you even listening?
I count three anti-aircraft cannons.
Three what?
You'll be safe here.
Oh, I'll be safe. Safe? I haven't been safe since I found you. I found you, remember? You were out there on your own, and you'd still be out there if it wasn't for me. I thought I was going home.
There won't be a home if we don't stop the Banished.
You keep saying that. We're outgunned, outnumbered. I know I saw Condors over there. I'm going to dig through them and find one with the working sleep space drive. And when you're done with this war, we'll get away from here. Far away.
Wait here.
Oh. Please.
So overall, Nick, thoughts on the boss fight, but also the mini boss fights that aren't actual boss fights? Because I found those much harder than our actual boss fight.
Yeah, we only had one boss fight in these missions, and it was the easiest one out of everything. Like, we had died a few times with those regular mobs. I think that it was designed that way because there was no boss fights, so they wanted to add like a level of difficulty. But these two missions, apart from like the confusing story, were pretty straightforward fighting-wise.
It was very straightforward, but I did like the added challenge, and I know, like, I talked about how I died a lot in these two episodes, and usually I don't. If you are just tuning in on this episode, listen back to our previous episodes, but because I was killing it. But I like that the level of combat have been taken up a notch without it actually being apparent that it's been taking up a notch, because like it's a pleasant surprise to have that bit of challenge added in there. But it looks like we're going to get more boss fights, hopefully, in the future, because I am kind of like, with the monitor as the boss fight, it's just a little bit misleading, especially compared to our previous boss fights. So I hope they kind of amp that up.
Yeah, and the Banished boss fight's really good too.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that they do amp that up. But overall thoughts on the mission, was there anything that you really liked?
That cutscene with Echo, like, we've seen it so many times. Are you getting sick of this relationship between the two? Because clearly they want different things, but Echo is kind of just being like, not a weasel, but he's just saying like, all right, let's do it. But then he complains every second and he keeps compromising with Master Chief. And it's like, well, you know, Master Chief is going to get his way eventually. So just go with the flow, dude.
It's kind of like the comedic humor, because it's like, oh, Echo, you know that's not going to happen. You're hilarious because you keep thinking it's going to happen. So I don't mind it that much, but I could see where it can get a little stale. One thing I am looking forward to is hopefully Echo joining these missions.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
In the future.
Yeah.
Just because it, like, what is he doing on the ship when Master Chief's out just roaming about?
Sleeping. He also gets knocked out really easily.
He does get knocked out really easy. But like, I feel like he's not sleeping. He's probably panicking to death. So I feel like it'll just be less stressful for him if he's actually just out there doing something. He won't
exactly
be able to focus on his anxiety with it.
You don't want to be alone with your thoughts. That's a good point.
Don't be alone with your thoughts. So Nick.
Yeah.
We got to get into it.
Yes.
You talked about a few pet peeves that you have, or tease them.
I don't know if you got the sense of this, but especially in this mission, it was so prevalent to me, but then I'm starting to think, like, did it happen before? Is it going to happen later?
Mm-hmm.
The noises that the grunts and all your enemies make aren't in the vicinity of where you're looking. And it's annoying the shit out of me because I can't properly decipher where my enemies are because their sounds or footsteps or whatever the hell they have, grunts. Not a grunt, but like their actual like
their
voice
sounds,
isn't grunts coming from where I'm looking.
Yes.
And it's driving me nuts.
It's so annoying. Yeah, it is really, it's really annoying, especially in an FPS.
Mm-hmm.
You're so used to, we're probably playing with a headset.
Yep.
And you're so used to having that directional awareness through sound.
Yes.
Which it's really hard to have here. So I actually found myself relying on my visual awareness on the map and the pings okay. on the mini map more than I would usually do in a game like this. Because usually I don't really pay attention to that because I'm relying mostly on my sound or my hearing. Mm-hmm. But I find myself actually looking at the mini map to see the pings more. Because I did find in the first few missions that we went through instances where I did get a little confused, but I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it was a me thing.
Yeah.
But this one, because of the amount of enemies we do face and the type of like corridors and some of the rooms mm-hmm. are just rooms. So it's like an arena type battle sometimes with some of these enemies. So it's really hard to gauge where they are with that.
The amount of like, again, this, you need your spatial awareness here. You need to have a strategy with your fights. To have your sound not properly work is really hard for me. And I really noticed it in this one because I just wanted to test it to see like where the sound is coming from. I'm going to go directly there and then they're not there. They're on the other side.
Yeah.
So, and it's every time. So you literally have to just not listen to their voices, which is very distracting.
Yeah.
And again, use your visual aids, but every FPS has sound awareness in some capacity, whether it's footsteps, you hear someone approaching. Like that's a huge human aspect to play a game.
Weird too because in the multiplayer you don't have that issue. Like I don't find myself having that issue. So it's really interesting for the campaign here that we're finding that. But you did have one other pet peeve that you teased, and I think I do share that one as well.
So you can only equip one thing at a time in terms of like your grapple shot, your drop wall, your threat sensor. It's hard to equip. It's slow. And unless you, again, maybe because if you've been playing Halo your entire life, you have that trigger in your mind. But for me, like switching out, I just basically use the grapple shot all the time because switching out is a pain in the ass. I have to like stop for a second and then press arrow down. Arrow this, and sometimes it doesn't hit, like it doesn't attach instantly, so you have to be like careful with your arrow pad. But to me it's just like an added inconvenience to the overall flow of your fighting.
I found myself forgetting about that, all those gadgets, because I was so used to using my grapple and I got so accustomed to it that I wanted to use it all the time, and it really for the first few missions helped me with dodging enemies. So when it was that we were going, especially in episode 6, going against the two enemies that were cloaked with energy swords.
Yeah.
I completely forgot to switch back from my sensory threat gadget to my grapple. Mm-hmm. So then I would actually throw like two sensory threats that I didn't need and then die because I got an energy blade right to my chest. Because I couldn't grapple away. So I feel like the wheel, you know, like some games where they do like a wheel for the gadgets where you could like press the right trigger or like the, like you hold it down and then you use your directional to kind of navigate. I feel like that might've been a bit easier, but it is a little bit hard, especially because there's been lots of instances, especially in mission 5 when we were going against bosses with the hammer. I was trying to put down like my grapple, but then also you don't have time to switch back and forth at all.
The same thing too is the directional pad, like you don't use it for much. So I feel like you could have just had action keys like up, down, left, and
on
right.
On there, yeah.
Could just automatically equip it rather than having to go down, down, or down, right, or down left. Like it doesn't make sense to me to add that extra button. I'm pretty sure they could have just gone with that one button to just trigger it. Or like you said, use one of the RTs, the RBs, the LTs to trigger it and then press the down and arrow button. But it's inconvenient because you rarely use those keys.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's the fact that you have to hold down RB and then press the directional. It's like very interesting choice to make. But there were a lot of, I will say I did love the amount of enemies that we fought, and it didn't feel repetitive. Like I was kind of concerned because with mission 4 and 5, I was like, okay, this is kind of maybe bordering the line of repetitiveness. But I have to say the mixture of enemies, because we really aren't seeing too many new enemies in these two missions, but I think it's just how they switched up the arrangements of the type of enemies we see in every combat keeps it a little bit more refreshing. So I look forward to more enemy battles in the future, but more importantly, I look forward to finding out what the heck is going on here, because I have so many questions.
So many.
But we're just gonna have to wait till we get into chapter 8 and 9 next time here on Autosave.